And it is this Thursday, May the 15th, in the year of our Lord, 2014. And you know what we do on Thursdays. It's Ruminations. And with us, we have our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hello, Tom.
And how are you doing?
It's been an interesting morning.
Oh, what happened?
I had breakfast this morning at one of the local restaurants here in Havana.
Uh-huh.
And the table was full of Cubs and Cardinal fans. You know, the Cubs win a game.
Oh, boy.
From the Cardinals.
Yep.
And they think they're world champions now.
Yes. Oh, my.
That was a good group. They had a good time with each other. They're on their way down, and I believe they're listening to us this morning. I got them talked into dialing in. They're all the way down going to St. Louis for a game this afternoon.
Oh, well, I'm not so sure they're going to appreciate what we have to say, because especially if they're Rams fans. But our topic for today is about, the way the Post-Dispatch had it, Rams select Sam. Michael Sam, the first homosexual player in the Football League. And it's big headlines in the Post-Dispatch. And, of course, they give the impression everybody's really happy at it. But I don't think that that's the case when it comes from God's point of view at all.
No, yeah. There's been a series of articles over the Internet and various places. But it's not being accepting as people are trying to give it an indication, or at least some of the news media outlets are trying to give it an indication.
Well, yeah, you're really right on that. You get the impression that, boy, everybody is for this, but then when you take a look at the item you sent me about the United Methodist Church, boy, you know, you sometimes think that the Methodists are pretty liberal, but they're certainly not on this particular item, are they?
Right, yeah, they're having their conference together. We would call it convention, I guess.
Uh-huh.
In May here, and of course there was a minority group that wants to make inclusion of homosexuals as an alternative lifestyle, and the majority are saying absolutely not.
Yes, they say the amendment would have replaced the present language in the discipline on homosexuality with a statement reading that Methodist churches have their own opinions on the matter. However, the measure failed when brought to a vote. And they talk about groups like the Institute on Religion and Democracy attributing the result to delegates representing the growing United Methodist Church presence in Africa. Isn't that interesting, that the African Methodists are more biblical and Christian than the ones in America, it appears?
Hmm. Yeah, you know, and the other thing is, and I think you've gone through their book of discipline, they don't exclude homosexuals. It's the behavior, it's the sin that's attributed to that. Isn't that what you had found out earlier?
Yes, and in fact, that's really the position of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod also in regard to this. Somebody once asked me, would we allow a homosexual to join our congregation? And I said, well, we allow you. And the point I was making was a very simple one, is the Christian church is open to any sinner who is repentant.
Right. In fact, meeting with, you know, I'm a circuit visitor, not a circuit counselor now.
And that means what?
Well, you know, in our Missouri Synod, we break down into about 8 to 11 congregations, and each circuit has what they call now a circuit visitor. And if they have concerns that they want to bring up or talk about or seek advice, you know, it's my duty to kind of help them out with the vacancies and things like this. Well, one of the pastors had some items come up in his congregation about marriage. So I pulled up the CTCR document, and that's the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. And they have a document called The Creator's Tapestry, scriptural perspectives on the man and woman relationships and marriage in the church. And they quite come down, and it's interesting because I was reading through it, and they bring up about homosexuality in there. You know, and in that Duck Dynasty controversy, you know, the one came up and talked about how homosexual was one of a number of sins that were mentioned. The LCMS document says the same thing. In fact, it says sin represents a selfish triumph over the well-being of the spouse and the marriage. And then it goes on and talks about homosexuality and said it is one sin among many, just as the gospel frees every kind of immoral person, the new life in the community, it does the same for the homosexual. God desires, whether you're homosexual or heterosexual, a repentance of sins.
And that's really critical. In fact, I would go so far to say that a homosexual will be invited to my congregation whether or not he's repentant. We have a bylaw I had in the congregation I was at for 28 years that after you excommunicate someone, you visit them with an elder and the pastor 1 month later, encouraging them to come back to worship services and Bible studies. And the reason for that is because it's only going to be the Word of God that's going to move them to repent of their sins and receive the gift of the forgiveness of sins.
I would agree. I've known of some. I haven't encountered any up here, but I have elsewhere that I've ministered to or something like that. I had one that had passed away that was a homosexual, very devout and chaste individual. When he died, my wife said, "Did you know?" I mean, this was many years later. I said, "Yes." She said, "When did you know?" I said, "Within the first month I was there." I said, "He'd come and talk to me. The elders of the congregation came and talked to me. They surrounded him. They knew what his condition was. He lived a chaste and decent life, so to speak. He stayed away from it. And he was considered very much a brother in Christ."
Recently, one of the programs on KFUO had a discussion on pornography. And as I was taking a look at the television, when this Michael Sam got hired by the Rams, he began kissing his boyfriend right on television, which to me is pornography. If you think about it, Wes, it wasn't that long ago that when two people of the same gender kissed each other, even on a sitcom or something, I mean, people were shocked. And you turn your kids' heads away from this sort of thing. And what I did, I took a look at what the word pornography comes from. It actually comes from two Greek words. The first is porne, meaning harlot, which is akin to the word pornanai, meaning to sell. And the second word for pornography is graphein, that you know means to write. In other words, pornography is literally the writing of harlots. Now, the Bible is pretty clear against pornography. Let me read this 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that Paul writes. "Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot," and that's porne, "is one body with her?" Now, see, in our day, you'd also say is one body with him. "For the two," he says, "shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." So that's pretty clear about sexual immorality. And now to have this not only in sitcoms and dramas, but also on the news with people rejoicing on it, it shows how far this country has come, where we're almost back to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, I agree in principle with what you're saying. But do you think it's really playing itself out in the heartland. I think there's quite a few, you know, folks out there sitting in our pews looking at this stuff and saying, no, this is nutso, you know.
So no, while I agree with you, I'll tell you how it's playing out in the heartland. Active homosexuals will really attack you if you come out against homosexuality. And so even in the heartland, there's few pastors who are speaking out against homosexuality, and even lay people, they have a lot of friends. For example, when Michael Sam was selected by the Rams, some other football player put, "OM my God," you know, out of astonishment that this would happen. He not only has been suspended, he now has to go to classes to learn not to be mean to homosexuals. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. Jesus would never have lasted in this country. He would be in classes all the time, having said to Pharisees, your father's the devil, to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Jesus definitely would never have condoned this kind of behavior. And now for us to see it on television and to see people really reviling in it, I think you're correct. It's a minority of people, but a lot of people don't know how to respond to this. They have sons and daughters or brothers and sisters or other relatives and friends who are homosexual, and the church a lot of time isn't giving much help to them as to what to do. Look what happened to Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. I mean, with Duck Dynasty, yeah, they took the flak, but you know, they stayed the course. And I think in there, it's the same way with us in the church. We need to stay the course and speak out about these things and witness to our members. You know, in our church, we kind of joke around, but of course we're very serious about it. We say, "I'm a poor, miserable sinner," where we welcome everybody because we know of our sinful condition, and that condition is only taken care of at the cross of Jesus Christ.
Yes, even the United Methodist Church, John Lomparis, who is director of the United Methodist program, says it's only a vocal minority in their global denomination. And the numbers of those congregations affiliated with homosexuals has been growing for some time, but can be expected to remain a small fraction of the whole. When one adopts a reconciling label, this seems to generally amount to formalizing the commitment its leaders already had to a secularized, myopically westernized, false gospel. And I think that really hits the nail on the head.
Yeah, it's left behind what Christ has said, you know.
We need really to help out even more our members. Now, we have some materials. For example, if you go to lawandgospel101.com and click on products, we have a book written by Peter Kurowski on the Duck Dynasty and their view of marriage. And it is very supportive of what the Duck Dynasty believes against homosexual marriage. Lots of Bible verses and some really good thoughts in there. So that's by going to lawandgospel101.com. And when you get to that, you simply click on products and you'll see the Duck Dynasty book there that's available.
Right. That's what, about a 30-page read?
I'm trying to remember. I think it was 40 pages. But
40 pages.
It's really been well received. Of course, I'll tell you, you know, last week you and I talked about Heaven is for Real. And if you also go to lawandgospel101.com and give us your name and email address, you will get a free copy of our analysis, of our theological analysis of Heaven is for Real. And as of last night, I think we hit almost 40 people who've signed up already.
Wow. And also, I know that you've got that, because I have a number of my members that are on your website there, that each week you download topics on law gospel pretty close to some of the things that you're talking about, too.
Yeah, the one this week, Issues Etc., just had a wonderful broadcast with President Matthew Harrison on the subject of law and gospel. And so those who are members are going to be able to see or hear that, I should say. It is an audio. And we've also put a little article that President Harrison wrote about law and gospel. And that has a lot of ramifications. People talk about law and gospel, but a proper sermon actually applies it. So the law is applied in such a way to help an individual understand that, you know, God is just totally against sin, all kinds of sin. But the gospel has the good news that that sin was forgiven in Christ. And so the goal of the church is not to get people to change their behavior as much as it is to change their attitude towards that behavior and repent of what obviously is a serious sin from God's point of view.
I would agree. You know, that 1 Corinthians 6 passage that you used, that verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit in you?
Yes.
Whom you have from God. You know, it's a realization that in my baptism, I've been washed clean, and that glorious exchange has taken place where my sins are now Christ's sins, and he gives me those robes of righteousness.
Yeah, we need to understand, and I would put homosexuality in the same category as alcoholism. When somebody is an alcoholic, they may even have been born that way, you know, because of their parents or whatever. But that is an addiction, but it's still a sin. Just because someone is born that way, this is nonsense that because the way you were born, God wanted you that way, and therefore it's not a sin. People are born with tempers. People are born with a desire to murder others or to steal from banks and so forth. These ingrained items are part of original sin for which Christ died on the cross. And we need to help people understand that just because you have such an addiction doesn't mean that God is not there to help you through it.
Yes. Yeah. When you read that 1 Corinthians 6, right above that was neither fornicators, idolaters, drunks, thieves, covetous, revilers, swindlers. Yeah, those were all included in with that homosexuality. So, I mean, you're right on target.
And then does not it say, and some were you at one time?
Time, yeah. And then it goes on to say, but you were washed and sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, law and gospel is really comforting because if it's applied properly, people have their minds changed. I was talking about recently, a layman had talked to me about he had to fire someone in his work, and it really made him feel bad because every time this individual lost him some money, he asked for forgiveness. And now it really bothers him that he fired him, that he hadn't really forgiven him. And what he was unaware of was the distinction between the two kingdoms. In the temporal realm, there is no forgiveness. That's only for the spiritual realm where you're forgiven of not having to pay the punishment of eternal damnation. And I gave this example. Let's say there's a judge who's a member of my congregation, and I get arrested for going over the speed limit. So I asked to talk to the judge privately. Excuse me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. There was some noise there. So I asked to talk to the judge privately, and I say, I'm really sorry for going over the speed limit. Will you forgive me? And he does. And then he goes back in the court and fines me $100. That is not a contradiction, is it?
No. There's still a payment in the temporal realm that needs to be made.
The consequences of sin in the temporal realm were not paid for by Christ's death on the cross.
But, you know, you do realize that had somebody, one of your friends came in and said, I'll pay the price, that's allowed in jurisprudence. They could have paid your fine because it was still made.
Yeah, next time I'll say I robbed the bank.
Even there.
No. There they will not do that.
Really?
Oh, no. Your father can't take the time in jail for you.
Well, I don't know. We'd have to talk to a lawyer about that. I've heard that you can't take the place, and it has happened where husbands or wives, especially husbands, have said, you know, the kids can't be without a parent, you know, and I'll pay the price.
Well, if it's a monetary fine and it's not a felony, but once you reach a felony, nobody can pay for you, whatever your punishment is.
Mm.
Yeah.
But the distinction, the crossover really is, if Christ has paid the price even for the felonies.
Yes, that's really kind of important, and it shows once more how ridiculous is the whole notion of Christianity. It just doesn't make any sense, because God pays even your felonious sins, not just those of a monetary problem. So it's going to be kind of interesting. I've had people talk to me. They're not going to go to Rams games anymore. And I can see a lot of people appreciating when the Rams start losing. It would be, you know the kind of God we have. He may allow them to win the national championship. Because he's not going to give any evidence as to why homosexuality is wrong by the record of the Rams in football. That's the kind of God we have. Just his word is sufficient.
Well, I hear he's going to get a reality TV show on one of the cable stations, and I'm not going to watch that cable station anymore.
Yeah, I tell you, it's just, you know, I'll be looking forward to watching the game, but not to see them winning. I would hope that God would help them to see the error of their ways, and particularly that this Michael Sam may come to repent of his pornographic lifestyle. And putting it on television with kids watching, this is just atrocious.
I would agree.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So we'll have to wait and see what's going to happen. It'd be interesting how the players are going. Right now, they're so scared of the homosexual movement that they're all applauding him and welcoming him and this sort of thing, because they saw what happened to those who are trusting in God and realize that lifestyle is just, from God's point of view, an abomination.
Well, and it just gets into deeper problems, because, you know, in football, they hit one another, and he gets hit. Now, are they targeting him, or are they actually playing the game, you know?
Yeah, motivation is going to be interesting. He says he's going to start sacking all these quarterbacks now that didn't hire him. And, you know, there's an immaturity, I find, among many homosexuals, and I've had some conversations with that just recently. They refuse really to even meet with me because they don't want to be put into a position of having to argue that what they are living is correct. And that shows me that deep down they know their life is wrong. That would be like me saying I refuse to meet with anybody who's going to help me understand that Christianity is wrong. No.
Right, and there's another book out there, too, that deals with that. It's that Eckstein book.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Thomas Eckstein. In fact, we sold it for a little bit. Let's go to the phone lines quickly, because we only have 1 minute left, and talk to James. James, you're on the air.
Wow, only 1 minute left. Oh, well, Pastor.
Now maybe, 55 seconds.
Well, Pastor, maybe another day you could give me a law and gospel application of Romans 15, verses 7 through 9, an application of your subject today.
Okay, I'd be glad to do that, but yeah, as you can tell, we just don't have the time right now. So next time, call in earlier, you folks. It's something that's going to happen, because I want to take one moment here. What is the address of your church in the time of services, Wes?
We're at the corner of Pearl and Market Street in Havana, Illinois. Saturday, we have 5 o'clock Bible class, 6 o'clock church. Sunday, 7:45 over our local radio station, WDUC, and 9 o'clock Bible class and 10:15 a.m. worship.
Excellent. By the way, tomorrow I'm on assignment, and so it'll be a repeat broadcast. In fact, I'm also gone Monday. And what's happening Monday? What am I doing Monday? Any ideas, Wes?
I hear you have this very special guest coming in.
I don't think President Harrison's available.
But I am. I guess you're going to have to settle for me.
I guess we're going to have to. So if you want to talk to Wes Reimnitz all on your own, it's Monday, and you're going to be doing readings for the sixth Sunday of Easter, aren't you?
Yes.
Taking a look at that. So sure appreciate you, Wes. Thanks so much for coming, and I'll be interested in listening to the program on Monday. God bless.
Thank you.
And I'm Tom Baker, and like I say, tomorrow is a repeat broadcast. Monday is Wes Reimnitz. Then I'm back on Tuesday with Mark Smith as we take a look at the hymn, Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. And remember my website, lawandgospel101.com. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.